When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
Stevie here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to listen to rapper and musician Lil Browse. My favorite part of his interview was talking about his music making process and figuring it out like a puzzle. Thanks for tuning in. Peace. Welcome back to another episode of the Stevie Weeby Show. We have a very special guest tonight. Please welcome for the first time on the podcast, rapper and musician Lil Browse. What's up, man?
What up, dude?
Oh, thanks for coming through.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So you were coming from somewhere tonight. You mentioned there was like weed smoke or.
Oh yeah, I was coming from the studio, and yeah, usually they just like smoke weed in there. I'm kind of chilling. The door's open. This time, it was just filling up the room like hotbox style, so I got like a little contact, I think, and I was just tired as fuck.
And we're both sober.
We're both sober.
Yeah, we're both sober, and were you paranoid? Like, dude, I got to get out of the room.
I just got really tired. I was like, dude, I'm like hotboxing myself in here right now, so I got out of there.
And how long you been sober?
6 years.
6 years.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing 6 years ago. Well, the weed's only gotten stronger.
Yeah, I think so, right? How long do you got?
14. Yeah. So would you say the type, even the, like, just the culture of what you do,
yeah,
that's a part of it, is
yeah,
the weed smoke, or, you know, if this was Texas, it would be, you know, like, the lean or something.
Yeah.
So how do you, like, did you smoke when you weren't sober?
Yeah, I smoked. Yeah.
So like that's another trigger.
Yes. At first, it was like I just liked the smell of it, and I was cool with it. And now it's just kind of annoying.
You know what I'm saying? Did you used to smoke blunts?
I used to smoke blunts, and then I think I smoked joints, and then I never got into like dabs and like all that other.
That
shit.
Came after.
Yeah, that came after for me.
Is this a part of it too? Because I used to love the ritualistic aspect of it.
Oh, yeah.
It was like meditation.
Yeah.
You know, you got your weed, then you would break it up on the coffee table. And then, it's a calming thing.
Yeah.
And then you would take your blunt paper and then you would lick it. And then, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was like a calming thing.
I did it the other day. There was weed on the table and I just grab it and start breaking it up just like secondhand.
But that was second nature?
Just second nature, yeah. I was like, it just felt natural. You
know
what I'm saying? Like,
it's
ingrained in me.
But where was this at? This was at home?
That was at a studio. And I was just, it was on the table, and I literally wasn't even thinking about it. I was like listening to the producer, and I was like going like this. And I was like, why am I breaking this weed up right now?
Yeah. So what led you to getting sober? Like, can we talk about that?
Yeah, dude, we could talk whatever you want about it. I basically start off on a serious note, but I like ran my life into the ground. Homeless.
Oh, you were homeless.
I was homeless.
So let's give
him
some context. You're from Ohio, right?
From Ohio.
This was in Ohio?
Southern Ohio, yep. Small town, super small town. We got one stoplight, one pizza shop, and like a gas station. And like,
what's the town called?
The town I grew up in is called Franklin Furnace. Franklin Furnace, baby. And shout out to Franklin Furnace, Ohio. And yeah, man, it was like a good childhood. And then I feel like I'm in a therapy session with these notes. I love it, baby.
No, 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 no. Just ignore this. This is for later.
Okay,
you know,
cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm talking like this about this context and the notes. It's good.
Yeah.
And so that's how it felt. And then I just got into partying stuff with my older brother, and then it got more serious, and I was just using like drugs and alcohol to escape. And
were you a beer drinker, or what's the deal?
I was never really a drinker.
Oh.
I was never really a drinker.
But you have an older brother?
I do have an older brother.
What's the age gap?
6 years.
Is it just you two?
I have a younger sister, too.
So you're the middle?
In the middle.
Was your brother a partier?
Yeah.
Oh, so that meet like...
You know what I'm saying?
I have an older brother, too. You'd watch him, and you'd be like, oh.
Exactly. So I'd go to those parties, and it just started off like fun. And then it was not fun anymore.
And then did you go to college, or...
I went for like a month, but I was like still in addiction, so I like didn't, I couldn't even complete, I just dropped out.
Well, maybe that was wise for you, because my addiction escalated when I went to Arizona State.
Oh, yeah. That's a party school too,
yeah,
right?
I just stopped going to class. I was I was smoking. Yeah, I was just like a blur.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a big party school too.
Yeah, big time. So... When did you, were you always into music, or when did you decide to do music? Like what were you listening to?
Yeah. I mean, growing up, my mom always listened to R&B like Mary J. Blige and Mariah Carey and Macy Gray and like just like soulful stuff.
Oh, Sade.
Yep. That's all I think about when I think about my childhood is like just like melody and like R&B. Mm-hmm. And then my dad was like more on like the rock side, so those were like the two things I was hearing.
Like what, like Led Zeppelin?
Yeah.
Okay,
like that,
yeah,
like
yeah,
classic
yeah,
rock.
Yeah, yeah.
So I remember hearing both of those, and then my older brother showed me like hip hop and other stuff, like Eminem, just like Eminem and stuff when I was like 10.
Right.
And I was like, holy shit, this exists, and like DMX and
yeah.
these things. And he also showed me Marilyn Manson, and just from an early age.
That was a curveball.
Big jump, cause yeah.
Because you said Eminem. Mm-hmm. DMX, and then you threw in a Marilyn Manson.
Right.
So that was eclectic, because that's like way left, like that's a whole different genre.
Exactly.
So you were open to all of it. You're like, oh, this is cool.
Yeah. And now it like kind of fucks me up, because I like when I make music, it's like so multi-genre, I have to like focus on one.
Like, what but do you mean? Do you think that inspired you then?
It does inspire me, yeah. It still does, but it's like...
So you like goth, and like everything.
I like... I don't know about goth, but like how goth
like,
are we
well,
talking?
I'm going to say that's industrial, right?
Okay,
like,
okay.
Like Maryland, how would you even distinguish that, like categorize that?
Yeah, I guess like...
Industrial?
Industrial, maybe, yeah.
Like Nine Inch Nailish
right.
type thing?
I mean, I think I was more of like an emo type of kid when I was growing up.
You
when
were.
I was like 14, 15, I got into that, like... You know, Kyoto's and Hawthorne Heights and, just like those type of bands, you know.
Yeah, and then how did you discover these bands, just on your own?
Well, I think that's what's cool about this generation is when I was coming up, I got, you know, phones were out and like internet was starting to become a thing. So I would just like explore music all the time and just check all kinds of different stuff out.
Right.
But I liked all genres except country until I got older. And like 2 years ago, I started loving country.
Oh, maybe it's an acquired, like me with Korean food. I didn't like Korean food growing up.
Yeah.
But then when you get older, you kind of appreciate the flavor of it.
Oh,
you
nice.
Know what I'm saying? It's like, not until you get older. Same thing with me. Like, that was my least favorite, but then I like it too. I mean, I like it all.
Chin,
you know?
Just took me to a Korean spot the other night that was like bomb.
Shout out to Chin.
Shout out Chin Sui.
I want to get to that too later on, like the trajectory, how you met
and
King and the Sting and all that.
Cheese corn?
Yeah. Where'd you guys go? In K-Town?
It was some spot after Brendan's show in Brea. It was like a little spot they found. But we had the cheese corn. We were playing some game with a bottle cap where you like flick the cap or
something. And then did you have the kimchi stew?
We didn't.
But you had the meats
we
and
had
stuff.
The, yeah.
What do you like about Korean food?
I mean, I've always liked Korean barbecue. I like the meats.
Yeah.
Like
how did
meats.
You discover it? I mean, I'm in Ohio. I'm sure there's no spot.
No, I didn't discover it until I got out here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the Midwest
it's
you're
the
from.
Midwest, yeah.
I just got back from Missouri.
Oh, yeah? How was it?
It was a trip, dude, because I'd never been to Missouri.
Right.
I didn't know it was mostly just black and white.
Uh-huh.
Like, I got into Uber.
Yeah.
And the black Uber driver, the lady, she was nice, but she goes, I never heard a China man talk like you before.
Oh, my God. And this is like 2 weeks ago?
No, this was like a couple days ago.
Holy shit.
But she didn't mean any harm.
Right. Was she white?
She was black. She was a black lady. She was a nice black lady.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But she said that.
Wow.
And I go, and it was like, it took me back. Like, it made me think, like, what year am I, like.
Right. Did you feel like you time traveled?
Yeah, I felt like I time traveled back to the 60s or something. And I'm just, but she was being authentic.
Right.
She literally, her only exposure is maybe a few college, because there's a, in Missouri, where we were, St. Louis, there's a school called Washington U.
Yeah.
They called it WaU or something. Mm-hmm. And then I think, you know, the other school where they're the Mizzou Tigers was like maybe miles away or, I don't know, 40 minutes or something. But that's mm-hmm. her only. And then she goes, y'all have the block where you have the Chinese restaurant, you know?
Yeah.
So I didn't want to even begin to try to tell her there's, I'm not even Chinese.
You didn't want to start that conversation.
No, because like that, because I could have said, no, I'm Korean, and there's Vietnamese, there's Filipino, there's, you know, there's Japanese, you know, that would just, I didn't want to confuse, you know, that would just blow her mind, I thought.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it tripped me out, bro.
It's a big culture.
Yeah. Is Ohio like that, too?
Yeah, so we just did a show there. I did a headlining show. We performed and stuff, me and Chin. It was fun.
Shout out to Chin again. Yep. That's my brother, too.
And I brought a bunch of my friends there to my hometown.
Yeah.
Like, friends from L.A. and New York and all this stuff, and they had never seen anything like that before. And they're like, where the fuck are we right now? Like, they're
like
trying
what? Try to...
It's just very rural. Like, there's not a lot going on. And
it's gray, too, huh?
Yeah. Yep. And they were, like, trying to find stuff to do, and they tried to go to a bar at, like, 1 a.m., and there's, like, one old man sitting at the bar, and he's like, what are y'all doing around here?
Yeah.
And like, Jesus, where did he even
come
from?
That's middle America, man. Yeah. I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, is it – I notice in Missouri, too. I don't know how it's different in Ohio, but is there a lot of brick buildings and stuff, like old buildings?
Yeah, like in the little town area.
Yeah, I noticed that. I'm like, oh, there's like all the build brick, and you could tell there's history.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, but people showed up to the show and, like, showed love because they love, you know, live music and just, like, a lot of heart.
And then let's go back to your music then. So when did you were influenced by, like, DMX and Eminem and all these other groups, Marilyn Manson and rock and R&B.
Yeah.
When did you start writing and trying to do music yourself?
The first time I ever rapped, that's the first way it came out because I like to do all types of music. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it came out as rap first, and I was in probably, like, third or fourth grade. And I was with all my friends at the lunch table, like very classic story. Yeah.
Yeah,
they did. And we were doing that one day, and people were like chiming in and stuff. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I was really quiet because, you know, I'm like introverted, shy kid.
Yeah. Were you shy?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was pretty shy. I'm like, I don't know. I'm a Cancer. I don't know if matters, but like I'm shy until I like get comfortable.
Right.
I could
be
myself. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I was like observing and chilling with them. And I had this like thing where I wanted to go home and like kind of roast them. It started as a roast, basically. So I like went home and thought about.
So it's kind of like a school battle roast type thing. Oh, did someone get you or take jabs at you or something?
I think they were taking jabs at each other. I want to be a part of it.
Oh.
It was like an 8 Mile type of situation going on. So I went home and I remember I laid down and I thought about each one of those kids and like thought about a lyric about each one of them.
Oh, so you did like a Comedy Central roast.
Basically,
in elementary school.
At the lunch table.
Okay.
And I like just sat there and ruminated like all night over it. And I came to school the next day and I was like, drop that beat. And they hit it.
And then I roasted
all of them and they were like, oh, and it was cool. Uh-huh. And I was like, oh shit, that was fun. And that was like the first time I ever rapped. But I always just loved making music and melodies and just always been kind of inside me, you know?
And then when did you decide to, did you have equipment or did you think about getting a studio or
first thing I ever recorded was me and my older brother. Cause I think my older brother got me into music a lot, you know, he did music and I wanted to be like him. So he would record and stuff. And the first thing we recorded on was a little speaker, like computer speaker with the little knobs, like the old one, remember?
Yeah.
And we had like a shitty microphone that we just set beside the speaker and like recorded over it.
I used to do that too.
Oh, yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
You got to do what you got to do.
Well, I had a you know, Radio Shack. I had
one
of those tape recorder things.
Yeah.
And I did the same thing where I didn't know how to make beats back then.
Yeah.
So I would take an instrumental and just put it near the speaker. Exactly. The same idea. Continue.
So that's the first thing I recorded on. And then eventually like got laptop and like GarageBand and then Logic.
Right. Did you get into production at all?
Not really. No. Mm-hmm. A little bit here and there, but I feel like I didn't spend enough time with learning it.
Yeah, because that's a whole different aspect of it.
Yeah. Like some of the producers I work with, I feel like they're just so far advanced. Like it would take me a long time to circle back and learn that shit.
You know what? But this is another way to look at it. Because back then, like back in the day, like in the 90s or something, it's like usually people who made the production or the beats were DJs.
Yeah.
So because, you know what I mean, they had the turntables and they had the breakbeat records or whatever.
Yeah.
But now, because of technology.
Right.
Dude, you could just have your phone. Do something cool on your phone.
Yeah,
you could do everything on your phone. You could do the production. You could record into your iPhone.
True.
So that's a positive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
What kind of producers? Like, because I asked you about your rap influences, but what production did you like?
When I was younger.
Yeah, when you're younger, like Timbaland or Premier, or like any of these other producers that you're like, oh, I like their style.
Right. That's a good question. Production wise?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, I don't even know. Back then, I can't really remember because I wasn't like focused on that as much. You know?
Oh, right. Like looking at the liner notes and who produced this?
Or, yeah, mm-hmm. I don't really know the producers back then. That's a good question.
What types of, like, because, you know, there's different types of production too. Yeah. There's like more, like, I guess nowadays it's trap style.
Right.
But back then it could be like the, like a jazz based sampling style. Mm-hmm. Like.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was like kind of in the age where Kanye was like making beats.
There you go.
Stuff.
I mean, you just said it. Yeah. Kanye.
So that was, I remember hearing him sample and things like that.
Yeah. Like, what's that song where he does the piano ding?
Runaway.
Yeah. I really like that song.
That one's dope.
Because it's like, with that song, it's like you feel something. Like mm-hmm. you don't have to hear them. It's just like you get goosebumps. You're like, oh, this is making me feel a certain way.
Yeah. And then like that first one he dropped
Let's hold on to that thought. Now a word from our sponsor.
You would get an oil change for your automobile to avoid bigger problems in the future. If there is something wrong with your penis, you best believe you go to the doctor to get that checked out. Well, it's the same damn thing with therapy, man. It's for routine maintenance for mental and emotional wellness to avoid the bigger pitfalls down the road, man. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can start communicating with your therapist in under 48 hours. Why invest in everything else but not your mind? This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and Stevie Weeby listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/Stevie. That's BETTERHELP.com/Stevie. STEEBEE. Get the help you need today with BetterHelp, my friends. Let's get her done.
And we're back. So go ahead, Kanye, first one.
Kanye, I just remember hearing Through the Wire. Remember that song? Through the
Limit. Yeah.
When he sampled that was catchy too. Fresh and new.
Yeah.
Man. But, dude, as I got older, I just started to like all different types of genres and got like my favorite artist is Bon Iver. I don't know if you know him.
Oh, like Bon Iver?
Yeah, he's my favorite.
I like Bon Iver.
Yeah, that's like my favorite style.
But that's more acoustic guitar type stuff.
Yeah, it's just like whatever resonates. That's what I feel.
Well, that's so weird. You really caught me off guard with that one. Yeah, I like Bon Iver too.
That's dope. He's
it's
like my
just
favorite.
Like him and his guitar.
It's him and his guitar, but he also does a lot of different just melodies and like stuff with his voice that I like. And man, it was like heavy rap influence at first. Then it got more into just like every
melodic.
Yes.
Bon Iver. How did you discover that?
Just through internet.
Yeah, internet.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seems like when I first listened to that Bon Iver, it seemed like he was in just like a cabin in the woods somewhere.
Yeah.
Like you could tell there's like a fireplace or something.
You can hear
it
burning.
Then he has a recorder with his guitar. Yeah. And then he's just has
very
two
simple.
Tracks.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
super
I like
simple.
That. Yeah.
Me too.
Did you get into at all like were you into like new wave or 80s or stuff like that? Like stuff like the synth stuff, like Depeche Mode?
I wasn't,
like
but I think when it kind of got like brought back.
Yeah.
Then I sort of went back and listened to it. But I'm the type of person where like if I I like to, once I start liking an artist, I go back and do all my research on them.
Oh, yeah, their discography?
Yeah, and then like watch interviews with them, and I just like to absorb all that. So I like just caught on, like I just did that with David Bowie. I just did that with Ozzy Osbourne.
You brought up David Bowie the last time we spoke.
That's probably when I was like researching.
Yeah. Because I'm a fan of, you know, Rest in Peace.
Yeah.
You know, I even drew.
Oh, nice.
I drew a sketch of him here.
Oh, yeah.
1947 to he passed in 2016. But I liked him because we started talking about David Bowie, about like he took on different kind of character, like the Ziggy Stardust thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just really, I guess, extroverted. Like he just had so many different aspects about him.
Yeah, I like that same thing that he would like take on characters and find himself through the character in a way, you know?
He was a great actor too. I mean, people forgot he was in movies and stuff too.
Right.
And so, when did you discover Bowie?
I mean, I knew about him, but like, I just went back and did my research, and like, I didn't know about him when he was younger. You know, like same with Ozzy Osbourne. Like, I've always known Ozzy Osbourne, but I didn't know like what he was like at like 30 when he was like on stage, just like crushing and being like so charismatic.
Did you learn about Ozzy through your older brother?
Probably initially, but then like, yeah, just certain people I'll gravitate towards at different time periods.
Yeah.
And then I'll go back for myself and do that research and, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. It's kind of like, with Ozzy and like Black Sabbath and even Iron Maiden, I always had a fear of listening to it because I would first see the album cover or the t-shirt and it was like really, it reminded me of like a horror movie or something.
Yeah, pretty aggressive.
And then people would say, like, dude, if you go to their concert, he bites off a bat's
They were
head.
All stoners, yeah, his fans.
They were saying that, like, that he does stuff with bats and animals on stage. And I'm like, oh, no, I don't want to listen.
I don't want any part of that. It's like Halloween Horror Nights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But continue as far as, this is interesting to me. Like, I like hearing about your influences.
Yeah, me too. I want to hear some about yours too.
I was influenced by like Depeche Mode, New Order, Echo and the Bunnymen.
So that band you were in, was it mostly like kind of rock, like punk?
Yeah, it was kind of like, you know, but I wrote like more in a rap style, like because I really was influenced by the Beastie Boys.
Oh, gotcha.
So, and then it was a trip that Money Mark was involved because he was a part of it too.
Yeah.
And then once he was in Big Bear with us,
I was
just like, oh God, you know, there's a lot of like nerves and pressure. And I'm like, I have to impress this guy.
And you were like writing most of the stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it was just kind of like trial period. I mean, you know, David Cho, shout out to David and Mark. They had rented out a cabin. It was kind of like a summer camp, like YMCA summer camp, where it was so big. They had different rooms and bunkers and bunk beds and pool table. Like, it was amazing.
Writer's retreat.
So they were, I was a trial period where they didn't know, I was working at Fat Sal's at the time, and they didn't know I had an interest in music. But I had already recorded solo albums by myself. Like, I did my own production with, you know, I did my own beats, I wrote my own stuff. And the last thing, I gave up on it. And this is the thing about life, is when you close the door on something, like, because I wrote an EP called Duraflame Pencil, and it was like a concept album, like, you know, you write your songs with the pencil, then throw it in the fire, and you're done. You know what I mean?
That's a hard name.
Yeah, it was kind of like, you know, it was kind of like I'm done with it. Mm-hmm. And then I just started working in the kitchen, making milkshakes and bagging meat. And I just said, all right, I'm done.
Right.
Universe, I'm done. But then the universe said, hey, well, presented a thing where I couldn't even imagine, like, it happening that way, like a resurgence of something.
Yeah.
And I was talking about it with you as far as, like, now with me and, like, doing... Now I'm doing stand-up. Like, it's one of those things where... And we're both sober, right?
Yeah.
Well, and we talked about this off camera about, like, our job is to show up to shit and not question it. Mm-hmm. Suit up and show up.
Yeah.
So with this comedy thing, I was just like, well, you know, this is being offered. And, you know, Jeremiah's like, you want to do some guest spots here?
Yeah.
And so I'm like, well, that just it seems like it's flowing that way. You know, like a current, like a river.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I'm just follow, you know, because I felt like, you know, I don't want to get into it, but I felt like I was swimming upstream and fighting and being, you know, I was like, it was like restrictive, or I was just like fighting against it and trying. You know how like you trying to make it happen so much, like a certain thing, but it's not happening.
Yeah,
that's how I felt with the other thing.
Right.
I don't want to get into it, but that's why.
Yeah,
I mean, And I'm sure that's you've kind of experienced stuff like that.
I just experienced that. The thing I'm relating to on that is right before the King and the Sting stuff.
How did you? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so I was making music on my own and just going to studios and trying to like push shit out. And I felt like I was going against the stream for sure, you know, against the grain. Like shit was not working out. And then I kind of gave up a little bit. I was like, I'm just burnt out. Like I'm not feeling this anymore. And then I randomly sent a rap to King and the Sting and like forgot about it. And then that started gaining traction on there. And then I just did exactly what you said. Like I showed up and I was like, this is flowing. So I'm just going to go with it.
So that,
you know,
dude, that's so crazy. That's similar to like my story.
Yeah.
As far as you felt a certain way.
Yep.
And then the universe presented something else in this way.
Yeah.
And you couldn't have even thought about that trajectory,
no.
Could you?
Hell no.
Like think about that.
No.
There's no way you would have said, okay, this is the it'll this happen the this way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, that's just just like suiting up and showing up and not questioning stuff is like key.
It's key.
Game changer.
It is, right?
Yeah, because I used to get in my head and overthink shit, and if people are listening and you do that, because I used to do that, like, and I still do that sometimes, you know, but we have to like just set aside all that shit and like kind of play dumb and be like, I'm just going to go. I'm just going to put the action in. And then think about it later.
Say that one more time for the camera, that last thing you said.
Yeah, yeah. Think
said,
about it later.
You said action. No, you said action.
Action.
That's such a vital word.
Yeah.
Because it's like with us, because we're both in our programs.
Yeah.
We're both sober and stuff. And it's like a lot of the main, one of the main things they teach you is, you know, going back to suit up and show up. But they're like, you can't think about it. Mm-hmm. You have to take the action.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, like, you know what's crazy is, like, I learned that first. Like, what did you do, like, 90 and 90, too?
Yeah.
You did 90 meetings in 90 days?
Pretty much. I think I missed a couple, but.
But you, for the most part, you went to your
idea,
meetings.
Yeah.
Like, every other day or every day.
Yeah.
But that's how I learned, because I'm like, some days I'm like, after 30 days, I'm like, I don't want to go. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go to this thing. But then I had to make myself and do the, like, I had to like let my feet do the talking.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I had to let my feet do the talking. Just reluctantly, just go. Oh God.
They call it smart feet. Have smart feet.
Smart feet.
I like that phrase.
Instead of this.
Exactly. Yeah.
This can get you in a lot of trouble, can it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially if you're like a over analytical thinker and just person like that, you know.
No, we're Virgos. Yeah, that's what we do.
So you guys know. Yeah.
I lay in bed thinking of things that have not happened.
Yeah, I think.
But I convinced myself that, oh no, they're about to happen.
Mm,
this is how it is.
Yeah,
these people are having these conversations.
Uh-huh.
They're saying this, and then this person's thinking this, and this person's going to do this to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think I have in part insomnia.
Yeah,
because I'm just like laying in bed, like
overthinking,
yeah,
creating those scenarios. And sometimes we think if we like worry about shit that it's going to like fix the outcome when it gets there, but it never really does. Like
it only
just
worsens.
Makes it worse. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I try not to do that. I try to like honestly just go. Like that's been my thing for like the past since I got sober, really. Just put the action in, go.
Go, go, go.
Yeah. Sometimes I have little setbacks, but I try to just get through them and show up and keep going.
Can I ask you how you even discovered King and the Sting and listening to that podcast?
Yeah. We discovered Theo at the Comedy Store, me and my friend, because we would go to the Comedy Store a lot.
He's a special talent, isn't he?
Yeah. So just like even before I knew they did podcasting and stuff, I didn't really listen to that many podcasts. This was probably like 4 years ago. I listened to Joe Rogan all the time and just like little ones here and there, you know?
We all love Joe.
Yeah.
Like, even though Joe, he went to Spotify, I still look at his clips on YouTube. Yeah. Isn't that weird? Like, I won't go to Spotify. I'm sure it's easy.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I'll just listen to his clips.
I do that too. Yeah. I do both, but I started going listen on Spotify.
So your main, you didn't listen to a lot of podcasts?
I didn't listen to a ton of them. I listened to Joe Rogan a lot and just little ones that I found interesting. Like I'd fall asleep to shit, just like learning about stuff, you know? But then we saw Theo at the Comedy Store because me and my friends would go there. So we were just like, loved comedians, loved comedy. We like went there for that. And then we saw Theo come out. We're like, who is this? He came out with Heat. And we're like, who is this dude?
Mm-hmm.
So then that's the first dude I discovered. And then I started listening to his podcast this past weekend. And then Fighter and the Kid. Then got into King and the Sting. And yeah, I just loved it early on, like their you dynamic, did. And it was like,
what do you like about it? Just Brendan and Theo's dynamic?
I liked it. Was just like easy to watch, and just like when they were roast each other, and you know, you look like this, that type
right,
of shit.
Right, right, like, and that's how they came out, like getting stung with bees on his. Is Theo what kind of attracted you? Is it the way his dialect, the way he talks, and everything?
I think just his bits, just like at it, he was just killed it with stand up. So I was like, oh, this dude's right. so funny. So yeah. I like wanted to watch more of his stuff, and then I got into Fighter and the Kid from that, and just started like falling in love with podcasts. I think from that actually, just because there's such a pool of people in that circle, you know, like they'll have this person come in, and
oh
like,
yeah,
Will Sasso come in, and Chris D'Elia, yeah, like all these people. Yeah. So
you got introduced to other acts or yeah. comedians.
Yeah, and like a lot of those people I knew, but I just liked listening to it in podcast form. Now I'm obsessed with podcasts. Like past few years, I probably listen to that more than music.
Isn't that weird? We're in a time now where like we don't watch TV now, because I grew up with the TV.
Yeah.
But now it's like, no, we just go on YouTube. That's my TV now. Is yeah. YouTube and content, you know, yeah. and I'm just like.
Do you watch like movies and like shows and stuff?
I mean, dude, you have no idea what I do. I mean, I could literally, my favorite thing in the world to do, I know this might sound lazy, we might cut this out of the whole thing.
Just keep it in.
Timestamp it. But my favorite thing in the world is once I'm done with my responsibilities,
yeah.
lying on that sleeping bag,
right,
and that's my time now.
Yeah,
I'm watching the new Twilight Zones.
Okay,
I watched all the old ones.
I've never seen that at all.
The Rod Serling ones, the black and white ones.
Yeah,
but Jordan Peele revamped that thing,
shit.
So now I'm on season two of Twilight Zone, and so I'm watching that. I just got done with Netflix. What's that? Midnight Mass. Have you seen that?
My friend was just telling me about it.
You gotta watch that.
Yeah, I'm going to.
Yeah, it's once you realize the storyline, you'll be like, "Whoa! I didn't see that. I didn't know that's what it was."
Yeah,
it's one of those.
I'm down.
And then obviously, Squid Game. I mean,
yeah, I watched that. I watched You, the show You on Netflix.
Yeah, but
did you see that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah,
but yeah, I go through waves of that, like. Last year, I didn't watch like anything just because I was like trying to grind, basically. So I felt like it was taking time away.
It does take time.
Yeah. So I cut all that out. But then a couple months ago, I started getting back into like Netflix and just relaxing and trying to take
Are
my
you
mind
on HBO Max?
Yeah.
So are you into Succession?
Oh, I just saw that pop up. I haven't seen it yet, but I heard about
that'll
it.
That'll get you hooked,
okay,
too. Yeah.
I'm down.
Yeah. Succession. And then, yeah, I always like finding just rare movies I'd never heard of, and I'll look it up on, like, I'll see it pop up on Netflix. I'm like, oh, I haven't heard of that.
Yeah.
Then I'll go right to YouTube and write the name of the movie review. So I love Christopher Stuckman. Like, I respect his opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So if Stuckman gives it, like, an A- or a B+, I'm like, okay, I'm watching it right now.
Right.
Isn't that weird, though?
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense.
That you need to hear, you need a thumbs up from some other source. Because back then, you would just watch it.
Right.
But now I need that extra...
You need that reassurance.
Yeah, because I don't know why.
That's what we do. We like, because with restaurants, like Yelp reviews and stuff, like we look at it first because we don't want to like waste time, I guess. And
right.
It sucks.
How did you link up with the homie Chin and went, like, because, you know, we ran into you guys in Austin and you guys were doing shows there.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
That was cool. We just threw King and the Sting. Chin was on there. And didn't know he had vocals like that. Heard him sing, and I was like, Jesus.
And he could play, could play instruments, too.
Yeah, he's so talented. Mm-hmm. And so they'd always joke about it, because, like, when I would go on there, me and Chin would be, like, complimenting each other. I'd be like, your voice is so good.
Yeah,
he's like,
you're
so good. And they're like, why don't you guys freaking tour together?
Do something. So you guys got along well?
Yeah, so we started getting along and making music and made some songs for the album and just started going to sessions together and then set up some shows.
That's amazing.
So, yeah.
And so how did you, like... Do you have like a booking agent? Like, how did you guys do that?
No, I've just been doing it myself, just reaching out.
Really? Let's
go. Yeah, because like I was thinking about that at first. I'm like, do I need to like set this up and this all has to happen? Then I'm like, I'm just going to try it myself and see what happens. And just reached out, made some connections, and just been booking.
Yeah, because when we and Jeremiah went to your venue before your sound check,
yeah,
like I was checking out the venue. I'm like, oh, this is a cool room. And then I met you. We took pictures and then we said hi to Chin. But then you had your own merch table.
Yeah.
I was impressed. I'm like,
thanks,
oh,
man.
because they were saying, oh, because I didn't know you.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, that's Brown. I'm like, oh, okay. But but when I saw you, I'm like, oh, okay. And then they gave me the history, or they kind of educated me.
Yeah.
Like, dude, he got shined through King of the Sting and all that.
Yeah. Dude, yeah, just reaching out and got, you know, like, you just show up for people and they hook you up. And like, I got some connections through that. And then people are just connected me.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's been cool. Just letting it flow.
Now, do you like, what's your writing process and creative process like? Do you have to hear the beat first, or do you have an idea in your head? Then mm-hmm. Or the title of the song first? Go ahead.
Yeah. The creative process is beat first.
Mm-hmm.
Melody.
That's important.
Yeah. Lyrics. Mm-hmm. Then song title.
So song title's at the end.
Song title's last, yeah. Like, I hear the music first, and then I literally all I do is like take a mic and I just mumble melodies to the instrumental.
Oh, without the words.
Without the words, no words, just like whatever I'm feeling to that.
Yeah.
Then I catch all the melodies and then I rearrange them to where they fit. And then I like fill in the blanks. It's kind of like a pop way of writing, you know?
So it's like a puzzle.
Yeah, it's like a puzzle. Exactly. Yeah, I just pull up notes and just rearrange stuff until it fits.
Do you think that's an attraction to what you do?
Yeah.
Because it is like a puzzle?
Yeah, no, I love it. It's like my favorite thing to do. And sometimes I'll just kind of like freestyle on a microphone and...
To get ideas?
Yeah, and I'll just like sometimes punch in lines like one by one. Like I won't even write it. I'll just do one line and then think of the next line and then just build the whole thing like that. But it's quicker for me if I like think of the melody and then fill in the lines really quick.
Right. And then how much writing do you do? Do you fill up like two full? Do you write in a notebook or do you do it on your phone?
I usually do it on my phone.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just fill up like just whatever the song structure is, like the hook and the verse, the hook, the bridge,
yeah.
Outro.
That's awesome. Yeah. And then is your stuff on Spotify?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah. Spotify.
So they just
iTunes.
Have to type in Lil Browse?
Yep.
LILBROWS.
That's right.
Lil Browse.
Yeah, check it out.
Now, what is Chin? Is Chin, does Chin DJ for you or like?
That'd be a cool little setup. He's just back there DJing.
No, I thought. Oh, no, but he adds musicality.
He sings, yeah.
With you?
Yeah.
Oh, I gotta see that.
Check some of it out. Yeah,
I thought he just DJed.
Just back there. Yeah.
Yeah, no, he sings with you.
He's been singing, yeah. We're gonna, actually, I don't know if we've announced it really, but.
Can we?
Yeah, we're gonna do a project together, me and Chin. Which is just like us going back and forth on tracks.
Aww.
And like some all multi-genre, like some hip-hop influence, some country influence.
What are Chin's influences?
I think he's a big country guy. I think his favorite genre is country.
Keep in mind, Chin's a Korean guy.
Right. Yeah.
You don't hear that a lot.
Yeah.
From a Korean guy. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what? That goes... To show you can't judge a book by its cover.
Yeah.
Because when I met Chin, I thought he was just a quiet, kind of reserved, nice guy who, you know, he's the producer of King, you know, one of the dudes there.
Yeah.
I had no idea he even had an interest in music.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
I know.
If you look at him, you're like, oh, no, he's.
Yeah, I think I even said that on a lyric in the King and the Sting album because I was like talking about each person on there. Like Chappelle looks like this, and
yeah.
I think one of the lines was like Chin looks like he shouldn't be able to sing that well or something.
At
just
all,
like,
yeah, at all.
Yeah, it's just because when he opens his mouth and he has them pipes, you're like, damn.
Right. Oh, you mentioned Chappelle.
Yeah,
he's a good dude.
The homie.
Yeah.
Shout out to Chappelle.
Shout out to Chappelle. He gave me a ride back from North Hollywood. I was gonna Uber back. And
He's such a good dude.
He's a nice guy, huh?
Such a good dude.
Yeah. How did you guys link up?
Through King and the Sting.
Really?
He was on the show when I got on there.
But this is before I start going there.
It was, yeah. They had the Culture Corner with Kat and Chappelle.
Mm-hmm.
And so, he was like in the Culture Corner. Remember that? Where they had like
Yeah. Well, people kind of start saying, "Oh, he's do like when I start going, they start saying, "Oh, no, this guy's doing the Culture Corner."
Right.
But
were they
now,
mad about it?
I've gotten like mixed reviews, still mm-hmm. do, which is fine. I try not to read stuff because I know at the end of the day, you know, there's a lot of love out there too, but yeah, I just can't read that stuff.
Yeah, man.
You know,
I think you get a lot of love. People like seeing
really?
You for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So I, but the ones that kind of do take jabs, it's kind of like, how do they do research and they know certain things? It's crazy. It's
yeah.
They bring stuff up that's super like, you know, you could tell they're on their laptops, like, you know.
Super specific.
Yeah. I don't got time for that, bro.
No.
Like, when you watch content, do you ever comment on anything?
If it's positive.
Only when it's positive.
Yeah, I'll drop positive comments and, like, that's, if I comment, it's positive.
The only time I commented, the last time I commented was Jim Carrey.
Right.
His Instagram, because he has inspirational quotes.
Yeah.
So whenever he says something, I go, oh, you're the best, man.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Real profound.
Yeah, just like, you're the best. Like, I like you, man.
I like you, man. Yeah.
Because he's inspirational.
He is.
Yeah.
Yeah, he went on like a whole spiritual psychedelic thing, I feel like, right?
Ooh, that's crazy you brought that up.
Yeah.
Because you said spiritual psychedelic, right? Yeah. I know we're sober, right?
Right.
But I can't lie to you. I have been like looking up ayahuasca videos.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Would that be a relapse?
I don't know. I think it depends on the person. I'm no doctor.
Yeah, I mean, chaotically
writing down answers.
No, have you thought about this? Have you thought about
this? I have thought about it. I think about
it
a lot.
So I'm not the only one.
No, I was just listening to Paul Stamets on
Rogan.
On Rogan.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're in the same boat.
And then he went to that one place.
We got to get to a meeting.
It was like a weekend thing, and then he went to that facility.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? With shamans. They had shamans there.
Yep. We're not in it.
You heard it too.
Yeah.
We probably have the same algorithm
we
on our
do.
YouTube.
Fuck. We're not in a good place right now. We're not.
Hey, at least we're being honest.
No, it is. It's good. But I just find that so interesting with like the mushrooms and the mycelium and the psilocybin and all the positive effects. Like, I geek out on that shit.
Okay. I have my reasons for why I want to explore.
Yeah.
I want to hear your reasons why.
First. I mean, I find it interesting right now. I wouldn't explore right now. I'm at year 6 in my sobriety and I don't have like any urge to do it. But like the thoughts there, and like I get why people do it, and why are you breathing so heavily?
No, I'm listening. Keep it's going. Like,
I can't concentrate. So, I don't know, dude. It's interesting as fuck, and like I think everyone wants to like just kind of have that experience. And but you know what? I heard someone say, check this out. Sometimes psychedelics can be like taking the helicopter ride to the top, but it's sometimes not sustainable. Sometimes you got to like trudge to the top of the mountain and then you could actually like have the view and like enjoy it and be there. So it's like a quick shortcut that doesn't always work.
Oh, where did you hear that?
I don't know. Probably in a meeting.
That's insane.
Like, yeah.
The reasons why I'm like.
But tell me your reasons why.
I've heard like it started with DMT. You know, I started seeing DMT videos pop up on YouTube.
Yeah.
You know, listening to Rogan's guests. And the spirit molecule. But then a lot of them were saying that it actually takes you like to different dimensions where you could communicate with like higher beings, like aliens or elves. There might be
elves.
Yeah. And that's like, I always had a fascination. Like, I like grew up with Willy Wonka and the chocolate fan. I mean, imagine meeting like a Oompa Loompa or something.
Right.
Like 100 of them and they're like talking to you.
Yeah.
It's just there's like an attraction for me. Yeah. Or not only that, because I'm like obsessed with aliens and different alien beings and stuff. So I'm thinking if that, because I understand that this is multidimensional. There's dimensions within dimensions, you know?
Yeah.
That are like, it's kind of like a Russian doll where, you know, there's always another layer, another layer. So I'm thinking, well, if this is kind of like what you're saying, a way to just at least experience that for
a second.
A second or a couple minutes, that would be amazing.
Yeah. I think it's probably beneficial if you do it the right way. And like, I've definitely experienced mushrooms and stuff when I was younger. Have you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, the thing is, I've always had like dark ass experience. Like, I've always had badass.
That sucks.
Where I saw dead people. I saw the lower vibrational. Like the, okay, let's say this is Earth.
Yeah, it's right
and
under.
And then this is fourth, fifth, sixth.
You're
it was
on
the
two
one
and three,
right below.
One and two, yeah.
It was right below where it's like the dead dimension, where the spirit's stuck, the spirits that are stuck in this dimension. And they're like, how do we escape? I've seen that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait,
his mic went up? Oh, yeah. Okay. You can clip this.
Okay. Are we good?
Yeah, we're good now.
Sorry.
Okay.
I used to touch it. I'll just post up.
So we fixed it right away?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're good.
Okay, gotcha.
Cool. But I think I probably did mushrooms like a handful of times, like five times, and all like four of them were great, and one of them was bad. I mean, the bad was just me being in the Midwest. It was cold as fuck. You know, you're supposed to do mushrooms in like a sunny place with like good friends and good vibes around you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this was just cold people like I didn't trust that were around
Blair
me.
Blair Witch.
Blair Witch Project, baby. Mm-hmm. Yeah, on the VHS.
Yeah, yeah.
It got blurry. Oh, it got blurry.
Yeah, no, yeah. All about that.
And you do?
The darkness.
The darkness was creeping in.
The witching hour.
The witch hour was yeah. a full swing.
Yeah.
And that's what it literally felt like.
Oh,
it,
yeah. I've been there too, yeah. my friend. I've been there.
But
scared.
I was like seeing like the trees on the, like the trees looked like they were like reaching up and stuff. And it was just cold. And I remember, I felt like people were like setting me up. You know the movie Blow with Johnny Depp?
Yeah.
Like at the end, you know when everyone's like looking at each other and yeah. he's like, what the fuck's going on? They all just walk away from the table and he's like, oh, it was a setup.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like. I felt like I was looking around. Everyone was like, mm-hmm.
Paranoia.
Yeah. yeah. Dude, my friend told me this story where he was tripping on shrooms, right? And he goes downstairs to this basement and everyone's on like a sectional couch watching a movie and he's the only one tripping. So he tries to like blend in with them and they're watching like Funny People or some like light thing like that, right?
Comedy.
A comedy, yeah. something light. And they're all going, oh yeah, that blah, blah, blah. And they're chiming in. And he said he wanted to be a part of so bad that he goes, yeah, I remember that. And he said everyone goes and like looked at him. And he got so like shook by it that he just hopped on the floor and tried to army crawl out of the room at like the slowest speed ever. So everyone's just like, what? He's like right
oh,
there, just army
no.
crawl. And he said that he was like, they're like, what did you say? And he's like, fuck, and like just hit the floor.
He did an army crawl?
He did an army crawl. Like, picture a basement with like carpet to the yeah, couch, yeah. like all the way to the stair.
Oh,
and he said
my
like,
God.
In his mind, he said in his mind, it was like a quick 30-second crawl, but it took like 5 minutes.
To do that.
And everyone's just like watching him crawl like across the floor.
How awkward is that?
So that
why was he tripping by himself?
I don't know. I guess people upstairs maybe were doing things with
yeah,
him.
Yeah.
And the people downstairs weren't on that wave.
Right, right, right.
So like he felt like they didn't get him. Like
right.
he felt like an outsider. And that's how I felt on that fifth time that I did shrooms. I felt like no one was really vibing with me and stuff. So I felt like it was a setup and it felt lonely and I did not like it. I did
now,
not like that.
No, would you do that? I mean, not now, but let's say you knew the world was going to end like
yeah.
next week.
And yeah.
Because I think about this.
Right.
Would you, let's say we knew, you know, the world was going to end. Would you take shrooms or ayahuasca with me and spend the night at the Comedy Store?
No,
because you know it's
haunted. Yeah, I don't want that. I don't want that at all. I'll be army crawling out of there.
Because you know there's crazy paranormal activity
yeah,
there.
I heard.
Crazy.
I've heard.
I
don't think if I knew the world was ending, I don't think I'd use anything.
You wouldn't smoke a blunt?
I don't really feel the need to because I'd probably be if I smoked a blunt now, it would be so strong that I would just be awkward and very like in my head, and I probably wouldn't even enjoy anything.
I think about that. I think I would close down. Or
yeah.
I would be so paranoid.
Yeah.
And I would like hide in here and
right.
I would be afraid to like just
go enjoy
yeah,
it.
Just associate or communicate with people.
Yeah.
Like I'd turn my phone on do not disturb
yep.
and I would just be like paranoid.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's not good.
That's not good. I don't think I'd do
yeah.
it.
So you don't think about drinking at all either?
Not really. Very rarely. If I have those thoughts cross my mind, it usually just kind of comes and goes and doesn't.
Have you done shrooms? Have you done hallucinogenics indoors?
Yes.
Because it's a different experience.
I've done them both.
I've always done it indoors.
And that's why it was so dark, probably.
That's when you're indoors, that's when it's the dark. It's
the darkness
things
can creep
show
in.
Themselves.
Yeah.
So they'll reveal themselves.
Right.
That's when the purgatory souls
reveal
themselves in the walls.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It just, like, you could be taking a shit, because this happened to me.
Right.
In your dorm room, and I'm just taking a shit, looking at the ground, and then it might start from the corner of the bottom,
oh, no.
and it just goes. Have you seen Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas?
Yeah.
You know, like that, that's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
Like, when they're in the hotel,
yeah.
they start seeing the things move, the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then it'll just start building to the wall, and then you see the dead people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that was the last time you did it was like a dark experience. Have you ever had a good experience? ever. Oh my God, the conviction in his eyes.
No, because dude, like I've seen. So that was in Arizona, right? I've seen the dead people.
I've seen dead people. Look.
I've seen the. You know, it's always the. You know why I have green? You notice my bathroom. That's green, right?
Right.
And you notice my bathroom lights was green too,
it
right?
Is, yeah.
There's
it
felt something. Like a there's laser. Something. It's an emerald green,
it
but
felt
there's
like
something
laser
to
tag.
That. Because you know, you notice the Matrix.
Mm.
The green,
oh,
green, and then
nice.
supposedly like Mount Meru or like Aurora Borealis, like the exit hole out of this dimension
the
is
portals.
Green, is emerald green.
Oh.
So there's something to this green stuff.
I like that, yeah.
That I don't know why. Maybe subconsciously,
right.
I like to surround myself with this green.
Just
green.
In case you need that portal.
Yeah, the portal. It's
just
like
to
the
dip
spirit
out real
world.
Quick. Yep.
But. I noticed that when I was tripping and I saw the dead people, it was that color too.
They were green?
It was like this green,
oh.
This faint green, and then I saw their faces and like, ah.
That's scary.
I'm here. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe you shouldn't dabble in that.
So it's good I got sober.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of good that was your last experience because you're like, I don't really need to go back to that.
So going back to ayahuasca and DMT, so would that be a slip up?
I think it's a personal thing, really. Like, it really is. Because there's people that go do that and get sober. You know, it's like a tool, which I think it actually works.
Dealing with trauma, too.
Yeah, for sure. Quitting drugs, quitting smoking, having, like, spiritual awakenings. And, like, just kind of like I know a girl that did it. And she had an outer body experience. And she looked at her life and she saw all the things she was doing, like cigarettes and things that were harming her. She's like, all those things are bad for me. And that was her download that she took from it. And she never like has used again.
So it helped her.
It helped her. So, yeah, I think whatever works for people, they should do it. But I think you have to get like honest with yourself, too. Because like for me, if I try to convince myself that like, I don't even think I need that. Like, it's an intention thing.
Well, I've dealt with abuse. Me and my brother grew up in a household where. You know, rest in peace, Dad. But he was highly abusive.
Yeah.
To my mom, and like, I would do it to kind of sort through that stuff.
Work
like,
through the trauma.
Yeah, because it's like I'm finding stuff out like later in life where I blocked out when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Like where there, I'll give you the story. Like where, you know, my like, I kind of blocked this out, but like when we were kids, like kindergarten, first grade. Age or whatever, like my mom had blocked, ran into the room where me and my brother was and blocked the door with the dresser and like, and then opened up her mouth and there's blood in it and like my dad had knocked her tooth out.
Mm-hmm.
I had blocked that out, but my brother said, you don't remember that, bro?
Right.
Like he was just 3 years older than me, but he remembered that. But then when I started thinking about it, I'm like,
unlocked that memory.
I kind of do remember that. Mm-hmm. No, not that, but just the feeling.
Yeah.
Not like details and. When he came and how he opened the door, but more like the feeling of it.
Right.
So I would do it to sort through that shit. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
That's cool. Like part of me wants to be like, that's such a good idea. But there's another part of me that's like just people that have a history with addiction and stuff. Like it's a little dicey.
Yeah, it's dicey. You're right. It's
where
dicey.
My brain goes is like we could probably do that with like, want like therapy, like working through it, meditation, like all those kind of cliches that we hear.
Yeah.
But like they're probably both equally effective tools. So I don't know. It's tricky.
Or have you thought of this? It's kind of like, let's say we're to do that, right? Hypothetically, like
it's
me or
true.
You, right?
Okay.
Me or you.
Okay.
But you've heard of those stories where they don't make it back.
Yes. That also scares me.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, that's
they kind of.
They get trapped in
they don't
that.
Go back to the host soul, you know, they don't go back to home base.
Right.
And then, you know, like a lot of those people are probably in mental institutions mm-hmm. and just like looking out like in a padded room, just like.
Because I have friends that have done that too.
What do you mean? Like that?
Like just like I had friends that have tripped and worked through their stuff and got better. I also have friends that have like done shrooms, been in sobriety, and then they're just kind of fried. Like they're not the same. Their personality's like not the same.
When they were sober and
they were sober and then they got into like doing mushrooms and psychedelics. And I just like seen that too.
And they don't make it back.
Yeah. There's like a kid I'm thinking of that's not the same as he was when he was just like sober. He's like,
how vast of a difference in his personality?
Just very like dull and like not himself and just kind of like more spacey. It just seems like he got like kind of burnt out.
Like
a lot.
He spaced out.
Yeah.
Oh, See, I don't want that.
Right. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just giving you like all the, I've seen all the different.
They'll give me the boot in all these podcasts.
Oh my God.
Like I start showing up to King of the Sting.
Oh my God.
And, then Brendan and Eric's like, what do you think, Steve? I'm like.
You're like, timestamp that.
Like, what? I don't say anything.
No, nothing.
Okay, I gotta go, guys.
The green portals. They're like, what? Yeah. You don't want that. You're doing well. You're doing so good.
I won't do it.
Yeah, bro. Just stay on the path you're on.
You know what? Yeah. I can't lie to you. It is fun. It's fun talking about it.
It's fun to talk about. We don't have to do it.
It's cathartic. Not like, yes. It's cathartic.
It is.
When I do that, I get it out of my system.
Yeah.
I play out the fantasy.
Yep.
And I'm just like, all right, well.
No need. Because
you said that last thing you said.
Right.
Changed it for me. I'm just like, that's the reality of it.
Yeah.
And not only that, I told you I have a history of having bad trips.
Right. So what that does not work well together.
Imagine this. Okay. I have a history of bad trips, LSD mushrooms.
Yep.
Imagine having a bad trip on ayahuasca.
Oh, then you're gone. Then those green things coming under the walls are like.
I'm a part of them.
You are a
they're
green.
They're dragging me down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
you know.
Yeah, you
it's
turn
like
into
the
one
cover
of them.
Of Evil Dead. Oh, like, I'm like trying to. You know what I mean?
You're just stuck like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, they you mean you into, just stuck.
They turn you into cover art.
You know, that's so crazy. I think that's what, you know, ghosts.
Yeah.
They're probably just.
They're stuck.
They're frozen.
They're frozen in
a loop.
In that
just
loop.
Like,
ooh, yeah.
I'm just stuck here.
I'm in this loop.
Yeah.
Damn.
Is that like when you die, do you think about that? Like, what if like when you die, like you're just in your apartment, like.
Oh, just on a loop?
You're
that would
on a,
suck.
Just on a loop.
Oh, that would suck so bad. That sounds miserable. You know, like Black Mirror, where like
oh,
they're in, like
yeah.
timeless loops.
Yeah,
that's just can't even. That's like overwhelming to think about. That suck.
I'm so that's so crazy. You brought up Black Mirror because there's certain ones where I watch over and over again.
Yeah,
like the one the Christmas one where
yeah,
you know,
that's
that
what
one,
I'm thinking
yeah,
of. Yeah,
yeah,
in the cabin
yeah.
or whatever.
Yeah, in the cabin where like he's actually he doesn't realize that he's in a prison and they're like he's in this other world. Yeah. And it's he's stuck on this loop.
Right.
Because that's what happens, remember?
Yeah.
Because he got convicted, and then now he's just in that cabin forever.
And that could happen to you if you do ayahuasca. I'm just kidding. Like, I don't know. It could be fine.
Hey, time flew by.
Oh, it's up already?
Yeah.
Dude, let's, that was so much
but
fun.
That was fun, but now is the time I want people to find your music and, like, tell them your website or your social media and all that stuff.
Yeah. Well, if you guys want to check my stuff out, you could type in Lil Browse on Spotify, iTunes, Apple Music. And got a couple projects out right now. And we're about to do a project for Brennan called Thick Boy. So we're doing a Thick Boy album.
Hey, let me get a song in there,
please.
Too.
I would love that.
Brennan, should I talk to Brendan?
I'm sure he's down.
All right, well, let's do something
let's make
for
sure.
that.
Yeah.
He would like that.
He would like that.
He would like that.
I have an idea already.
Yeah, you do, you do.
Yeah.
Will you let me produce it? I can produce the song.
Okay.
Do you want me to make the music for it?
Yeah.
You.
Do you? What do you use? Just steal the A-track thing?
No. I use
oh,
the sampler.
God.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I use the sampler.
Okay,
this
yeah.
This is Vintage Man.
Yeah.
Like, dude, MF Doom used this.
I'm down. I'm super down.
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to be sick.
Yeah.
Yeah,
He'll like it.
So yeah, Thick Boy album next.
Yeah,
Stevie Weeby on there.
Yeah. We'll see
bunch
what's
of people
up.
On there.
But don't tell him. Let's surprise him.
Okay. Yeah.
We'll make it a surprise.
I like that.
I love Brendan.
Yeah. Great.
He's
dude.
Been good to me, dude.
Dude, me too.
He's been real good to me.
Shout out to Brendan, dude.
I love
he
Brendan.
Freaking hooked me up with all kinds
he's,
of opportunities.
You know what people don't realize? He's a sweet guy.
Great
he's a
dude.
He's a nice person.
Great dude.
You know what I'm saying? Like
yeah, like and yeah, he gets a lot of hate. Just from
I don't
that.
Like that he does.
Me neither. It's so weird.
If they knew him as a person, they'd be like, oh, he's a nice guy,
dude. Just even for me, like behind the scenes, like he's went out of his way to just like help me get opportunities and like connect me with people and. Like, he's never made me feel like I've, like, been annoying where I'm like, hey, can I do this? He's like, bro, like, he's trying to have his people win. And eat.
That's what he did for me. He didn't have to, like, give me those guest spots.
Yeah.
Because he knew I started doing open mics and wanted to do comedy again. And he was like, I stayed a little longer after taping King and the Sting.
Yeah.
And he goes, why don't you just show up this weekend?
Oh, that's
I go,
cool.
I go, what's happening? He goes, oh, you could do some guest spots. And you know what he said?
Yeah.
I didn't even have 5 minutes, but this is what he told me. He goes, you could do as long as you want.
That's awesome.
He gave me that luxury.
Yeah.
Even though I only had like one bit or 2 minutes worth of material.
Yeah.
He's like, dude, you could do whatever.
That's fucking
He
awesome.
Gave me the freedom to do whatever I wanted.
Have you been enjoying that, doing that more
I'm
now?
Having fun. Like, yeah. Opposed to, I told you, outside walking towards yep. here, you know, I used to do just a cowboy rap bit, and it wasn't even comedy. It was literally a music bit that I try to put into comedy.
Yeah.
And I'm having a different experience now.
Yeah.
Because I'm more in the moment and I'm acknowledging, oh, there's a person there.
Right.
That person, you know what I'm saying?
Like, you're not just going up and like blindly performing or looking, something.
That's what I did before.
Now you're engaging and like being yourself.
How'd you know I did? You said blindly.
I can see it, I guess. I didn't know if you
No,
did
no,
that,
that's what I did.
Yeah.
I blindly just went up there and looked at the ground
well.
And just went $40 bidder, 40, you know, 40, yeah, that's it. Didn't it's like, dude, might as well just stay in your room.
Right. You could
There's
have been
a crowd
in here,
here
doing that. Yeah.
There's a person right there.
Yeah.
But yeah, so my experience now has been a lot more positive.
That's awesome.
Like, you know,
I haven't got to catch your stuff yet, but I want to see your stand up.
I'll let you know. I'm not there yet.
Oh, well, you
know, I'll let
like,
you know. I'll let you know. I'm still writing, like,
yeah.
I'm at least trying to write bit, you know. That's a dope. Lot of the stuff I'm doing's kinda hacky because I don't have much stuff yet. But
yeah.
I'm trying to write like stuff that, you know, that I haven't heard yet, you know, like, you know, because
just true to you stuff that like
same thing with music writing. You've heard all the songs about love or breakup. I mean, same thing with comedy. The bits you've heard about this and that. So
yeah.
I'm trying to like I want to start, you know, as far as topical stuff, the stuff like well, kind of like aliens or this or you know stuff
shit
that's
that
kind of
like
weirder
and like true to you stuff
yeah.
you actually like.
Yeah, stuff that interests me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, because I don't really, I think this would be a good outlet, because I don't really talk about it on these podcasts.
Yeah.
Like, imagine if I talked about reptilians to Brendan on King of the Sting.
It wouldn't
fit. He'd look at Eric like.
Yeah. Shit, like, Stevie got into the
you
ayahuasca.
You gotta listen, Steve.
Yeah.
You gotta learn to listen, you
yeah.
know what I mean?
You're over there, like, petting the
yeah, yeah.
invisible
like,
reptilian.
Well, there's different types of reptilians, you know, there's the ones with the longer
the,
tails,
yeah.
and then they could shape, you know.
They come down from
like,
the fifth dimension.
Nick.
Yeah, let's get him out of here. Let's get him out. His time's up.
All right, so check out Lowbrows. That's Lilbrows.
Yep.
And then what about upcoming shows they could get tickets for?
The next shows that we're going to be doing are probably on the West Coast. So we're trying to do Orange County and LA. We don't have the dates yet, but if you're in those areas or on the West Coast, check us out and love to see you guys there.
I like to go to a meeting with you too, like
yeah.
off camera. We'll talk about
like,
because we'd actually like, I'd like to go to like a book study or like a men's group or something.
That'd
like
be
that.
Dope.
Yeah. Cause I need it.
Hell yeah.
I need it a lot right now.
Okay.
I want to be on point and not like lose track of what's mm-hmm. important, you know, as far as what got me here and to show up to things.
Yeah.
It was an honor, dude.
Honor. Thank you.
I loved it.
Me too.
Anytime. We'll do part two, part three.
Okay. How many are we
yeah,
doing?
Yeah.
Four.
We'll have ayahuasca part two next
okay.
time.
Yep. Live from Stevie the comedy
back
store.
Back from Peru. I'm just kidding. Patreon.com/StevieWeeby if you want to help support the platform. StevieWeebyBandcamp.com for any musical stuff. Instagram/QUANGOU. Oh, Scissor Bros. YouTube.com/Scissor Bros. We're starting to do live events, guys. People seem to like it. So, you know, hit us up. Check out the content. I do have a P.O. box if you want to send any fan mail or packages or gifts or whatever. Send all your stuff to 1425 North Cherokee Avenue, P.O. Box 1391. L.A., California, 90093. Did we make an hour? Dude, it was an honor.
Honor,
bro.
Thanks for having
Hell
me.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
My buddy Skip is a trip, feeling blue like a crip. Framed for robbing a bank, letting loose from the hip. He really couldn't predict this grip was so full of angst. Him and Henry Woodward Peckers did a song and dance at bit. Oh, rodeo man in the West, you can. You're the best on the land to bless the sands. Do the bull with your hand, oh Skip, you can. Get that fucking bull, pull on that rope. Feeling still crazy, maintaining against the grain. Making me wanna get in a plane. The pain inside my brain never ends. I'm down for the count on the ground freight train. Living today.
today. Don't give it away, the peace and the praise, the rays. Shining it down to mightiest crowns, the finest of frowns delayed. Skippy's afraid, he feels betrayed. Live this way, can deal with shade. His spade is spade, he made the gray displayed in a charade of pain. I am not a man, I am an animal, a male. I live by maritime, the law of water about to sail. When my mother had me, I slipped out of her canal. What you call a sailing ship is named after a female. Okay.